What do you do when you face an impossible situation? Maybe you feel helpless. Do you get angry? Depressed? Do you wonder, where is God? Today, we're going to talk about what you do when you're really desperate. Stay with me.
Thanks for joining us for this Tuesday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy, and today we wrap up our series, Sacred Rhythms, Cultivating a Lifestyle That Makes Room for God. We've been looking at some of the key spiritual practices that keep our hearts connected to God. Tough times are inevitable, so these sacred rhythms help us not only enjoy our relationship with God, but then successfully endure when the tough times come. Chip's team teaching with his son Ryan, who's a pastor in the Bay Area. So now with part two of his message, Cleansing Our Lives from Distractions, here's our guest teacher, Ryan Ingram.
Esther was queen in Persia, and she was facing intense opposition. She was facing this moment of all of her people being eradicated. And she is put in a position to do something, and yet it would cost her her life if it doesn't go well. And so listen in Esther chapter 4, verse 16, what she says to her uncle Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days. This is known as an absolute fast, where you'd fast from water and food. And I just want to say right here, you should never do it more than 3 days, and it should always be done in the most dire of situations. We only see this a couple times in the Bible, but it is serious. Fasting from food, you can live for a month without food, by the way. You're not starving, like even until like 30 days after not eating, especially in America. But it is dangerous to fast from water for over 3 days, okay? But she does this absolute fast. They're in dire situation. And I, my attendants, will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go before the king, even though it's against the law, and I love her surrender. And if I perish, I perish. But we're going to seek the heart of God together and ask for his favor. Maybe you're facing intense opposition. Maybe it's at work. And you have a boss or a coworker that is just against you. Maybe there's literally an evil person in your life. It could be even in your family. Are you experiencing injustice? Maybe you're undergoing spiritual opposition. Maybe there's physical opposition. If you're having any of this, I would encourage you, perhaps, step into the rhythm of fasting and see God begin to work in situations where it feels impossible and beyond you. Five areas that we might consider fasting: big decision, opposition. Third area is the preparation of ministry. If you're preparing for a ministry of some kind, we know that Jesus actually fasted for 40 days before he ever did any ministry. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas were hanging out at a church. They are fasting and pray together. We see this in Acts a couple different times where before any new ministry action took place, they would fast and pray. We see in Acts 13:3, it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and what? Fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work I have called them. So after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Has God given you a vision of what could be and should be? Has God placed something that's in your heart? I'd encourage you, maybe you would take 24 hours and fast and pray and ask God to really begin to use you in that way, in that role, to bring about supernatural good. If you're stepping into a new role, maybe going on a missions trip. I have a friend that fasted and prayed before the birth of his kids. Each one of his kids, because did you realize that's a new ministry role in your life as well? Maybe you're starting a new job, and you understand that we all are ministers of the gospel, and you are a minister at your workplace, and so your work is actually a ministry, and so every new job is a new ministry position because you've been called there to be the light of the world. And so then you're going to go, hey, I'm stepping into this, and as I step into it, I'm going to fast and pray for the favor of God and for my workplace and the people there that they would experience Him and come to know Him. Five areas: big decision, intense opposition, preparation for ministry. Fourth area is a physical expression of sorrow and mourning. This is actually how we see fasting in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, most often, is this expression of mourning and sorrow. And this is a way that's pretty foreign to us in America. One way of expression of sorrow and mourning is your heart heavy or burdened over your own sin? It's an expression of confession and repentance. Back to Nehemiah, they get done rebuilding the walls and they gather everyone together. Now notice what happens. It says, on the 24th day of the same month, the Israelites gathered together, fasting and wearing sackcloth, putting dust on their heads. Those of Israelite descent had separated themselves from all foreigners. They stood in their places and confessed their sins and the sins of their ancestors. An expression of mourning over your sin. Oh, gosh, we think so little of it and excuse it, and yet it sent Jesus to the cross because we needed to be saved. Is your heart heavy? Like, is there habitual sin in your life that is just a constant flow of your life that you've allowed in? And you're going, I don't want this to be a part of me anymore. And I'm grieved and I'm mourning and I long for you to do something in my life. And so you fast because it's serious. Would you consider that? And for some, you're like, I'm not there. Would you even consider for God to give you the grace to feel the burden of your sin? When I pray prayers like that, I pray it this way: God, would you be as thorough as you need to be, but as gentle as you can be? Like, I want you to be as thorough, and He doesn't show us all of our junk because we'd just be overwhelmed and a mess, and we'd just be like, I can't even move forward in life. In His grace, He keeps all of our brokenness somewhat shielded from us. But show me those areas so that I can be right with you. Maybe you'd consider fasting as this physical expression of sorrow and mourning when it comes to circumstances. A crying out for God's will and deliverance. Daniel, the prophet, he's in Babylon, exiled, and he gets this vision of what is to come with the kingdom. And it's a bad, troubling vision, and he's grieved. And it says, at that time, Daniel writes, I mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I fasted for 3 weeks until 3 weeks were over. And in Daniel's story, we get what we call the Daniel fast. Maybe you need to fast because there's sorrow and grief. Maybe it's personally. Maybe it's death that's going on, death of a relationship, loss. You're just hurting for the needs of the world. Like when you feel the weight of what's happening in our country and happening all around the world, that you just go like, man, I'm grieved, and I'm just going to allow the physical expression of fasting to be part of the way I respond and express my grief to God and inviting Him, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Finally, as we close on the when and why to fast in times of great need. Like, is there a need in your life? It's kind of like the catch-all one here. Do you need something from God? Ezra is leading the people out of bondage, out of exile, back to Jerusalem. They're on this journey. There's a whole caravan of people, and he realizes we need God's protection. And so they literally stop, and he says, "There by the Ahava Canal, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before God and ask him for a safe journey for us and our children and with all our possessions." Some you're going, I'm stepping out and I need God. I need some protection. Okay, would you fast? Maybe it's around your health. Maybe it's with a job. Maybe you need provision. Maybe it's in your marriage. I need God to show up in our marriage. Would you fast? Maybe it's with your kids. Would you fast? Would you take a season of fasting? This last fall, we had the Comers come, Phil and Diane Comer, and they did a parenting conference. It was awesome, fantastic, and their intentional parenting. And I love this. They had a daughter that was dating a guy that was no good. And as parents, and I now am, you know, have kids that are in the teenage stage, so I understand this a little bit more. But as parents, we know that if we try to tell our kids not to do something or try to push them away from a guy specifically or a gal, it's only going to make them want them more, right? And so sometimes we can feel like our hands are tied. Well, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Fast. And what they did is they instituted together as a couple Fasting Friday, where they fasted and engaged in the sacred rhythm of fasting. They fasted every single Friday for this daughter of theirs and for this guy to be gone. And God answered their prayer in that. Got to keep it real. Got to keep it real. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Engage in the rhythm of fasting. Fasting is setting aside something to intensely focus after God. Well, then how do we actually go about doing it? Let me just give you four steps, really, for you to engage in this rhythm of fasting. The first way that we fast is we first have to prepare ourselves spiritually. You got to do some spiritual preparation. And here's what this looks like. Examine your motives. Like, why are you fasting? Remember what Jesus said? He was talking all about our motives and why we fast. Examine your motives. And for some, you're going like, well, I have this tension in my heart because I know if I fast, I might lose weight. That's okay. That's a secondary issue, and it's okay. And you're like, okay, that's going to be a benefit. Like, people do this as a health, you know, thing, just intermittent fasting. But would you go, okay, I know that might be a temptation, but I'm going to make this fast about you, centered on God, and I'm going to begin to align my life with you. How do we prepare spiritually? Well, first, examine your motive, and then, is there any area in your life that you have unconfessed sin? Scripture tells us that like sin blocks our prayers. And before you get into that, you just go, I'm going to get clean with God. I'm going to ask the Spirit of God to examine my heart. And then finally, ask God to powerfully work during that time. Invite him to speak to you during the time that you fast. So the first thing we're going to do when we fast, we're going to do some preparation work. We're going to prepare our hearts spiritually. Then we're going to set aside a specific time and reason. Set aside a specific amount of time, whether it's 24-hour fast, maybe it's a 3-day fast. For some, you're like, hey, I want to do a Jesus fast, 40 days. That's fantastic. Start small. Start with 24 hours. For those who do want to do a long fast, you would love to do that. One, I'd encourage you do research on it. You want to actually incorporate juices and different things into your diet over that time. Also, you need to talk to your physician and make sure your body is healthy to do and undergo something like that. But we're going to then set aside a specific time, how long is it, and reason. And thirdly, be attentive to God. This is not just about going hungry. What'd you do? Not eat. That's just called not eating. Fasting is setting aside eating specifically to focus intensely on God. So would you be attentive to God? Would you pray during the time you normally would eat? Would you allow those pangs of hunger to remind you of your need for God? To remind you of the brokenness of our world? To remind you to bring before God those that are actually around you when you feel those pangs of hunger? That you would be attentive to God. And we spiritually prepared ourselves in this. We set aside a time, and then we're just keeping company with God even throughout the whole day. It doesn't have to be like, you know, you're sitting at your desk, and I'm like, I'm fasting, and so I'm going to pray, and I'm going to sit here. You know, you can sit normally like this and just have a conversation with God, and no one really knows. So you can do it at work. You can do it in your car. Beautiful part about the car is with everybody with the, you know, Bluetooth, you no longer look crazy when you talk to God in the car. Right? I mean, I used to look so crazy in the car. I'm not going to lie. Before Bluetooth and before all that stuff, you're just driving and you see someone just talking. Like, who are they? They're talking to. They're insane. Now, you don't look insane. You can pray out loud all the way driving in your commute to work. But would you be attentive to God throughout the day? And then finally, be aware of the enemy's attacks. As you draw near to God, you'll experience opposition. Be aware of the slanderer. You know, that's one of the names for the devil, slanderer. He wants to put you down. Thoughts of guilt and condemnation that come. Be aware of, you know, any distractions or discouragement. Here's what I find when I pray and I don't prepare spiritually for it and go through this process that when I've done it in the past. Those days are the busiest days of my life. And I find myself just running through the whole day. And so you be aware of the enemy's attacks, even to the point of noticing, wow, it got ramped up and it's super busy. I can be busy and pray though, so I'm going to be attentive to him. I'm not going to allow my busyness to push out my attentiveness to God. All right. So then for some, you're thinking about, well, who can actually fast from food? Let me just go through that and just talk about this because I think it's important because I don't want some of you to step into this where physically you shouldn't. People who are physically too thin or emaciated, those who are prone to anorexia, bulimia, or other eating disorders, those who suffer weakness or anemia, if you have tumors, bleeding ulcers, cancer, blood diseases, heart disease, if you suffer chronic problems with kidney, liver, lungs, heart, other important lung organs, if you take insulin or diabetes, blood pressure problems, hyperglycemia. Now, most people, hang on here. For many of us, we're self-diagnosed hypoglycemic. Just a word of caution there. I'm hypoglycemic. Okay, are you really? Never mind. Women who are pregnant or nursing, please, please don't fast from food in that regards. What can I do? One good way that you can join us is do a media fast. We do a media fast every so often in our home. And so part of that media fast helps us out to know, it just allows us to be more attentive. So we say no to social media, to TV, and to movies. I remember the first time we really did this as a married couple, and my wife saying we did a 30-day media fast. And after about a week, she's like, I hear God better. And so you're like, I can't fast from food, but you can fast from the media, and you can take that same 24-hour period and join us with us, okay? What do? When you don't know what to do, Jesus invites us into the rhythm of fasting.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. If you're just joining us, Chip and his son Ryan will be back in a minute to talk more about this sacred rhythm of fasting. Ryan's message, Cleansing Our Lives from Distractions, is from our series, Sacred Rhythms. If the pressures of life are taking their toll, what you'll learn in Sacred Rhythms provides the wise counsel you may be missing. In Sacred Rhythms, you'll discover how to develop a few of the key spiritual practices that can release the floodgates of relationship with God. To order your copy of Sacred Rhythms or to send a set to a friend, just visit us online at livingontheedge.org. You'll find that the CDs are discounted and the MP3s are absolutely free. Or if you prefer to order over the phone, just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003.
Hey, Ryan and I will be back in just a minute to talk about today's teaching, but I want to give you just a reminder that today's the last day of this series called Sacred Rhythms. And if you want to take advantage, if you had the intention to get this series, let me encourage you to do it today. If you've been listening to this series by my son and myself on Sacred Rhythms, you know, it's not about duty, it's not about oughts, it's not about shoulds. Here's the deal. Jesus gave us a pattern or a rhythm of life. And it's a rhythm that's different than being glued to our phones, being bombarded by media, and being stressed and hurried all the time. And we've learned a number of ways in this series to literally make room for God. He wants us to experience Him, but we have to get rid of the clutter, and we have to put some good things in. And so we want to give you the MP3s for free, or the series CDs at a discount, so that you can listen to these over and over, and ask God to help you develop the sacred rhythms that will make you more and more like the person you long to be, and the person God has saved you to be.
This series, Sacred Rhythms, provides practical tools to help you develop the kind of regular life patterns that make room for God day by day. In order for these practices to really take hold, you may want to listen to Chip and Ryan's messages again. Now, to make that easier, we've temporarily discounted the CDs, and the MP3s are absolutely free. For all the series details, or to order your copy of Sacred Rhythms, just go to livingontheedge.org. Or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Now here are Chip and Ryan with some additional thoughts about today's teaching.
As we wrap up today's message, Ryan, I was struck by one of your applications. I think of fasting and food, and you talked about a media fast. Why a media fast to your church?
Yeah, first, it's been a powerful practice in our home. Mm-hmm. At the beginning of the year, we generally do a media fast for almost a month at times. And what we find for our kids, for ourselves, that it pulls the distractions away. Mm-hmm. It reveals some of our addictions, and it allows us to hear God in such a powerful and clear way. And what I find in my own life is my first response is often to look at my phone in the morning, mm-hmm. and it adjusts my first responses.
Could you describe, just in a practical way, when you say a media fast, what's that actually look like? What do you actually do? What do you cut off?
Well, one, social media is a big deal.
Okay.
So whether you're on Instagram or Facebook or Snapchat or any of those things, TV, Netflix, your news feed, mm-hmm. and different any things that are not work related.
Okay.
So if you're, email and some of those sort of things, I even set a boundary so that I'm not looking at them at home.
Gotcha.
During a media fast.
And so did you feel like the world fell apart and you got completely out of touch? It was a big problem? Or, because I know that's what people were thinking, or did it really do something for your soul?
What's surprising is the world didn't fall apart. I didn't miss it as much as I thought. In fact, there's those habits that you learn that you want to continue, and you're like, I actually want less of this because of what happened in my soul, in my pace, and in my relationships, not only with God, but with others.
Ryan, that makes a lot of sense. And it brings me to a thought I have for our listeners right now. Here's my challenge. I challenge, you may not be able to do a month, but what if you said 3 days? Or what if you even said, we're going to put a basket when you walk in the door, and around dinner time, everyone puts their phone in a basket, and we're going to eat together, or maybe have 2 hours after dinner with no media. You need to ask yourself how to cut off the supply lines of the distractions. Because Ryan, thank you. What you've helped us understand is that unless we develop sacred rhythms, we actually don't have room for God. He wants to make himself known, but we have to make room in our life and our heart and our pace. in our conscience so we can hear from him. Thank you so much for teaching us how to do that.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. What an honor and a joy.
Thanks, man.
Just before we close, I want to remind you that we ask the Lord to use this teaching to strengthen your faith, and we ask him to help you confidently take whatever your next faith step is. We'd love to hear how it's going. Would you take a minute to send a note or give us a call? Either one is easy. Just send a quick note to chip@livingontheedge.org or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, I hope you'll be with us again tomorrow when Chip begins a new series, Experiencing God's Dream for Your Marriage. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.